Track 55, Day 1, here on the Overnightscape Underground. It is 8:37 p.m. on Day 1, or 20 hours and 37 minutes into the virtual day. Oh, yes. Look at this. Would you call this the home stretch? A little over 3.5 hours left on Day 1 of the Overnightscape Underground, and still a lot of amazing stuff coming up. And you just heard the very beginning of the Severe Repair audiobook, Chapter 1, Beautiful Disaster Area. So there you go. You got to get introduced to a few of the, these characters. Like I said, that's the only chapter I've written of those characters. But that college, that Adarine College, is definitely the scene of a lot of activities in the book. And concepts of time travel, of course, and the end of the world, and all these things. So it has begun. It's very exciting for me. Very exciting. I mean, this is like, if you go back, I've been working on this book for over 20 years. So we shall see where it goes, but it's very exciting. Ah, yes. So I'm sitting here. I have a little Laphroaig single malt scotch. And a scotch glass, just drinking it neat. Here at, look at this. In real time, it's almost 2 a.m. I don't know. I'm thinking I may be able to finish this up tonight. I'm not sure. I was hoping to do another feature, but I got to wait a little bit later. I have a new feature idea, but it has to be a little later. Maybe on the next segment, I'll do this new idea. I have a lot of ideas. Anyway, as you heard in the Severe Repair, time travel was a topic. Talking about time travel, we are going to go back in time to November 9th, 1985. And this is a recording that has never been heard. Bits and pieces of this recording have been heard here and there, but very little of it. It's a recording that I'm very familiar, at least the beginning of it, I have listened to a lot. But I don't think I ever released it in any form. I'm racking my brain, because I think part of it is... In the beginning, there's a lot of... Well, throughout the whole thing, there's a lot of music. I would consider it a fair use, because I'm not putting this music on. It's in the background of the stuff that's happening. So I don't consider it to be a violation, a copyright, whatever. I think it's fair use, because I'm obviously not intending for people to like use this listen to the music in this form. But this is at my dorm in college. I was a freshman in college. I had just been in college for about 2 months at this point. So... This was at Drew University, D-R-E-W, Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. And where this recording takes place is Brown Second. In fact, it's called Brown Second Fun and Wrestling, because that's the label that was on the tape since way back when. It's one whole side of a tape, so it's about 39 minutes long. So it's Brown Hall, is the dorm, second floor. And you will hear me, but mostly my roommate, John. He sort of took over. It was sort of his tape, because he was sort of the topic of the tape. But it's an amazing slice of the past. Just so you can get oriented, I was in room 209. That's where the whole 209 thing came from. In fact, this is you're hearing the latter part of this tape is in the room 209, where the whole 209 thing got started. So, I mean, this is it. This is ground zero for 209. It was me, my room 209, and then my friend Brian's room 209, and the connecting dorm Tali that started that whole thing. But here I am at age, I just turned 18, right? I had just turned 18, like literally a month earlier. This is 18-year-old Frank, right? Yes, 85, yes, absolutely, 18. 18-year-old Frank, and you'll hear me, and I had my recorder. It was a big Sony boombox thing, and I think I still have that around here somewhere. I don't know. That one I kept. It's cool because the recording, the microphones were very far apart, so you got a really good stereo separation. Now, across the hall from me was this guy, Carson. And he was a funny guy because he was, at times he was my friend, at times he was my enemy. He was someone who, he was a freshman, same as me. And when he got to school, I learned this later. He said that in high school, he had been kind of a nerd. And he wanted to reinvent himself in college. So what he did is he invented this persona for himself, which was sort of like a sailor. He had like a navy coat that he would wear. He slept in like a hammock. I don't know if he slept in it, but in his room he had a hammock, and he smoked pipes, and he would just like you could just smoke a pipe in like in your dorm room. It was fine. He just like smoked, you know. This was a different age. The 80s was a different time. I mean, I had heard stories that a couple years before I got there. So I got there in 85. They said a couple years before that, like if you're a freshman, you could just call up a liquor store in Madison, and they'll like deliver like vodka to your door. They didn't care. It was like total anarchy. But he was this guy Carson, and he had a really good stereo system. I remember he had vinyl, you know, the vinyl albums, and he would clean them and had a really good stereo system and would play a lot of stuff. And also, you're hearing my roommate John. Now, I actually met him during orientation, and we both were into comic books. So he asked me if he wanted to be a roommate, because he was sort of, I guess he was apprehensive about when you're a freshman, you know, you can request a roommate, but it's not guaranteed. Or you could easily be thrown with anyone, and if you get a bad roommate, it could be kind of a problem. So he asked me, so I said yes. So he's a big wrestling fan, as you will hear, and also a big fan of the band Triumph, which you will also hear. You may not be familiar with the band Triumph. It's a rock band from Canada. So, also you will be hearing. Now it's very interesting because I fell out of touch with all these people. I mean, Carson, I don't know when the last time I saw him. I saw him back in the 80s. John, my roommate John, I saw him. I think I talked to him on the phone in like 1991 or something. I don't know, but really, have not seen these people. But I listened to this tape, and this song was driving me crazy. You'll hear it in the very beginning. It's like, let me sing you songs from the wood to make you feel much better than you can know, right? And I never knew what that was. I'm like, what is that? I listened to that tape so many times. I'm like, what is that? That is a great song. And I'm like, I actually tried to find this guy Carson. I tried to track him down on the internet, right? Of course, I couldn't find him. I think I left him a voicemail or something on someone that had his same name, but then I'm like, wait a minute, just use the internet to type the lyrics in, and I saw it was Jethro Tull from their album song. It was their album Songs from the Wood. So anyway, you'll hear that people are calling me Fen, because similar to the way that Carson reinvented himself, I wanted to reinvent myself a little bit. And I'm Frank Edward Nora, that's my name, and the initials are F-E-N, so I figured tell people to call me Fen, and they were only too happy to do that. That became my nickname. Only for that 1 year in that one floor, and then it died off the next year. I stopped with the Fen thing. So you hear someone calling me Fen. A couple people call me Fen. You'll hear me walk down the hallway, you know, through the little kitchenette. That was one of those classic dorms. It just had that smell, that dorm smell of like mixed of like beer and vomit, you know. The little kitchenette in the middle. It was what's the right word for it? Co-ed. It was a co-ed dorm. You know, girls and boys on the same floor, and the bathrooms even were co-ed at one point. It was a wild scene down there, you know. Actually, if you have a little experience in life, you know that, like, even if you have something like that going on, like, nothing ever happens. Like, there's never any, like, you know, at least for me, nothing ever happened. Like, I never saw any, like, girls naked in the shower or anything, or I don't know. I was really very much of a late bloomer. I was still about a year away from my first kiss with a girl. So, you know, I was way back behind. So it wasn't, you know, you see movies about the 80s and college and stuff. It really was not a wild scene. It was very sort of normal. I don't know, but it did have that smell. And it was cool, though. It was very fun. And you'll hear me walk down the hallway to talk to this guy, Chris Collier. And I think I've mentioned this on the regular Overnight Skate before. Years later, I would have to think in like 91, 92, we found out that Chris Collier had gotten murdered in a bank robbery. And really, he was kind of a good friend of mine back then. He was my partner in orientation. That's where, you know, I said, you know, you had to say your name and then something you like with the same letter as your first name. So I'm like, hey, I'm Frank, I like freedom. That's when this guy, Phil, said, "Hey, I'm Phil, and I like physics." And he became Physics Phil for the rest of, you know, his college term. It's very, very dangerous to say anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever you say will become your nickname or what, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's very weird. Anyway, I don't know if it's still the same way. I'm sure it is. People are always the same. So, yeah, I remember like that guy Carson. One time he was just sleeping and he came in my room and was like lit a lighter in my face, and I was like so shocked that I had to like couldn't get back to sleep. So I just walked through the woods in the dark for a while and came back because there was like woods right outside the dorm. It was kind of cool. But yeah, there was you know, like I said, he was sort of a friend and an enemy. This guy Carson. But yeah, Chris Collier died, and I couldn't find any information about it. But when I looked, I remember on the show I looked and I found that in Bermuda, he was from Bermuda. He's a white guy from Bermuda. You would see, I saw that there's a Chris Collier like fund, like a college fund. So, I mean, I'm assuming it's the same guy, you know. It's very, very sad, very sad. Because he was a cool guy, and he's on a couple of these tapes I have and videos and stuff from that time period. So, kind of sad that, very sad that he was killed, supposedly in a bank robbery, like in Miami or something. And he was a victim. He wasn't one of the bank robbers or anything. He was sort of there, and the robbers like killed him. You know, I had no other details. But anyway, so this is the room. This is the place. So it starts off across. It starts off in Carson's room with his roommate. I forget what his name was, but he's like, nah, the throw up thing outside of the room. I think his name Tom. I forget what his name is, but then some other kid's visiting and starts throwing up. And then there's this girl, Ames. Her name is A-M-E-S, or Ames. And she's hanging out with us. So it's Ames and Carson and a couple other people. And then John starts watching the wrestling, the World Wrestling Federation. And actually, the week before this, or like not the week, but a few weeks before this, for my birthday, John got me tickets to the WWF, Saturday Night Main Event or something, in at the Meadowlands here in New Jersey. So I actually saw live the Cousin Elmer's wedding or something, you know, Cousin Junior's wedding, the WWF. And if you're a fan of World Wrestling Federation, you will love this tape because he's like watching live and commenting on the World Wrestling shows that are on the night of November 9th, 1985. So fascinating stuff. I listened to this earlier, and I listened to the whole tape earlier today, and it really is kind of it kind of affected me. Like, I really sort of felt like, wow, like a connection with the past or something. It's a very goofy tape, and at one point I think you do hear a Crazy Eddie ad, because a small portion of this tape we did play on the Anything But Monday show earlier in the year. And I know that Mad Mike had pointed out that there was a Crazy Eddie commercial. We played just like maybe like a minute of this tape, just a little piece of it, where John starts laughing like a maniac and stuff. So I don't know. I should try to find some of these people one of these days. I don't know. I'm too isolated. I just sit here in the Urban Escape studio and record stuff. And the whole world's going on around outside. I don't know what I should do. I should get a life. I don't know. No. So here we go. It is the Brown Second Fun and Wrestling unedited cassette. No edits. The full thing is there. And do I need to do not safe for work? There's some cursing here. Whatever. Whatever. The Urban Escape Underground is not safe for work. Whatever. I don't know. Here you go. The fun tape. Let's go back in time. Woo-woo. 1985. Here it is.